Thank you for listening to this podcast. It's a follow-on from the previous one on spiritual detachment. It's part two, a reflection, a moment of contemplation, guidance for detaching. And over the last few years, I've been privileged to walk alongside the brothers and sisters in our community of interfaith Franciscans as they embark on their spiritual journey as pilgrims, searching for personal intimacy with their God, but where many reptiles and shadows catch up with them, leaving them in a place of entrapment. And the wonderful blueprint that Teresa of Avila, a mystic and teacher, gave to us in her amazing book, Entering the Castle, Entering Your Soul, a pathway to blessedness. Allow me share with you my own personal reflections and some feedback from our beautiful monastics. You leave fragments of your spirit here and there over the years. These pieces are glued like barnacles on a ship to various places, objects, peoples, memories, and often unfinished business. Although detaching from them can be extremely difficult, detachment is a far more natural practice for your soul. As well as emotions and mental health, than holding on to the dead zone of your past. With practice, it gets easier, but the practice is rigorous. Allow me to share with you the following exercise in detachment. It is brief but powerful. Think about something that qualifies as an attachment for you. Something that you really struggle with. You know that you should have detached from this situation, person or memory, long ago, but it hangs on. Yes, it hangs on and on and on. Enter into the silence and pray for guidance for how to resolve the situation. See the person, the situation or thing. Feel how your spirit is stuck there. Ask, how can I get free? What did you hear as guidance? What sign came to you to tell you your prayer was answered? Perhaps you think you didn't pray long enough or hard enough to receive an answer to your prayer. But perhaps the answer came so swiftly, immediately, that you dismissed it because you have been clinging for so long. Enter into prayer again and go past your hurt, your pride, your ego, your fear, and face the attachment and the reasons you hold onto it. All these reasons are really about power, nothing else. No one holds on to any attachment unless there's some energy connection, some currency of power involved. Even your worst, most painful memories hold the power of pain, a pain that gives you the right to ask for certain things, treatment, sympathy, or other entitlements. What is the root of your attachment? The power you're trying to hold on to? Now imagine detaching completely from that object that is weighing down your soul and draining your energy. What part of you struggles with detaching the most? Is it pride? Fear? How much is due to an unwillingness to let your physical world change? Scrape off the barnacles, cut the cord, sever your power connection. Now, what will happen? What will change? This exercise helps you see the power both of your soul and of your attachments. With that insight into this basic soul struggle, ask yourself, do I really want to receive clear, direct guidance? If you receive guidance that compromises your physical comfort, would you be willing to follow it? Few can answer yes unconditionally. Even ancient mystics who received the clearest directives in the most profound visions found it difficult at times to carry out the guidance they received. That conflict is part of our relationship with heaven. We are drawn to God. We are terrified of God. We rely on this God we cannot see. We do not trust this God completely, and yet, in spite of all our confusion, we cannot stop ourselves from continuing to walk toward our castle, our soul. What are these words saying to your heart? What do you sense is happening for you? Allow me to share this reflection. Do I enjoy my ability to create chaos? How often do I create chaos instead of tranquility? Does chaos control me more than my inner guidance? If I were directed to trust and have faith that all would be well, would the chaos around me have more power over me than the message coming from my soul? But if your goal is to involve God in your life and know your highest purpose, examining chaos will make your prayers and contemplation and all your inner work more dynamic. This work is more than self-observation. You are awakening your soul. Through your inner struggles, you open yourself to guidance. Your journey will become sacred and mystical rather than psychological, spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is within, as Jesus taught, and one way to enter it is through the soul's castle. Once in the center, you share your truths and secrets with God directly. But to do this, you owe it to yourself, don't you, to be truthful. To thine own self be true. I'm sure you've heard this many times. And though I'm a lot older now, I may not be as wise as some would expect me to be, but like you, I strive each day to listen to my heart and to discern not the voice of my ego that often offers me the easiest of routes, but God's ways are not my way, are they? But my ways are very much influenced by what God says to me, because for many years I lived in fear. I guess it was my early upbringing and the religious influences of the day that kept me in a place of fear and mistrust. Not good enough, not worthy enough. But today, at 65, having fallen over many suitcases and handbags, I can assure you, the road to divine intimacy has been a long and winding road. But one thing is for sure, at every obstacle, God is present, or God sends a helper to speak to us in our chaos, to offer us an olive branch to return home to our heart. You may think it patronizing of me when I say, your heart is your teacher, but it is. And that your heart is the gateway to your higher self, your soul. And your soul is the gateway to nirvana, to God. A God of love, a compassionate one, a forgiving one. And if we believe the words of God to be true, that we, you and I, were created in the image and likeness of God, then we must also believe that we were created whole, perfect and complete. So let us embrace our inner divinity as a child of God. And let there be no fear in our life, for fear is an illusion. It feeds off our energy. It is counterproductive. And it alienates so many, even on the spiritual path, from facing their fear. But nothing is impossible for God. And the moment we kneel and surrender our life, our heart to God as a child of God, then something amazing begins to happen for us. It's as if the doors of heaven have opened and a host of angels, messengers of God, are sent to us to support us, to empower us, come home to our divine truth. Be at peace, my brother and sister, and know that nothing is impossible to God, that you are a child of love, and let no one put you down. No one. Take back your power and celebrate your divinity as a beloved of God. God bless you, and God protect you, and remember, you are loved.